And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, good morning. Good morning indeed. We are served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Exchanging some pleasantries. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. And we've got a big one tonight, Bucks fans, as it's Bucks Warriors. I'm going to go out on a limb, Freems, and say this is an NBA Finals preview.
Oh, geez. Boy, if that's the case, I'll sign. If you were to tell me right now, the Bucks are going to be in the NBA Finals against Golden State and get swept by the Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay. As bad as that sounds, I would sign up for it right now. Sign, put me in.
Well, I would too. How many times, honestly, today? Because the Bucks play the Warriors is a big game. We're very excited about the Bucks right now. They're 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State is a team that's come up more on this show than maybe the normal show because my brother works in media relations for them. Do I have to say that as much as I think I do today? Because sometimes I start talking like as a Golden State fanboy, which I am. And then people, if they tune in for the first time or if they haven't heard me talk about that, they think, why is this guy talking about Golden State? What a front runner. So do I have to keep, do I have to do it at all? Should I not even care?
I wouldn't. I don't even think about it. I mean, Golden State's going to get mentioned on radio stations like ours across the country because that's, they're really like the number one, them and like the Patriots, I would say, are the two often mentioned teams in the national media.
Yeah, but how many people do you hear like, oh, I love the Patriots? No, everyone hates them.
Well, you know what, though? When you go to the Bears game a couple of weeks ago in Chicago, you would have guessed that was a home game for New England. In Chicago, man, did you hear the crowd? Every time New England scored, man, you heard everybody. And that's what happens. I mean, those Patriot fans were around 20 years ago. And the same thing when Golden State comes here in December. On a Friday night, a late night. In fact, it's like an 8:30 start out here because I think it's going to be on ESPN. You'll hear a lot of Golden State fans too. You will. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Well, I am rooting for the Bucks tonight. If anybody cares enough to ask, I'm rooting for the Bucks. No Draymond Green, it looks like, for the Warriors tonight, which could tilt things in the Bucks' favor. Did not get a line on this one when I looked last night. I think because Draymond's out, I'd have to imagine the Warriors are favored by a few points.
I would guess 8 or 9. That would be my prediction. I'm going to see if I can pull it up here a little bit. But I would guess 8 or 9.
I checked late last night. So hopefully there's something new.
Let's see. So game is off the board yet because of a Draymond. Because of Draymond, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Draymond Green.
And Cousins, it's got listed here too. But yeah, we knew that.
Cousins. Yeah.
Cousins is always like day-to-day.
He ain't playing until like March.
Yeah.
So, and he's going to get a ring, and we'll see. We'll see because, mm-hmm. this could be an NBA Finals preview, and I think that we can say that. Now, I know they haven't won a playoff series since 2001, the Bucks, and I know that every time you think you get your hopes up, they let you down. Maybe you got your hopes up, and then they lost in Portland. But they're 8-2. They're playing well. There is a way that they're playing that's giving me confidence as a Bucks fan that they can keep this up. There has been a kryptonite, and that's been explosive guards that can shoot from anywhere around the court. And the Warriors, unfortunately, have two of those guys with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And then, oh yeah, Kevin Durant. And then the Warriors have been a team that they've got their top guys, but then like it seems like everybody else they find works out too. This Alphonso McKinney guy from Green Bay is like the story of the league right mm-hmm. now. He played there years ago, has been bouncing around basketball, getting a shot with, of all teams, Golden State, and putting up some big numbers.
Yeah. I mean, the Bucks are going to have problems with teams that if they don't extend their defense and, you know, going out and guarding those guys in the perimeter and leave those guys to have open shots. There's going to be some problems, and we've seen that. We've seen several guards, come off of screens, come off the bounce, and drill long-range shots against these guys. And if the Bucks don't get out there, If they're lazy, if they don't get at least contest some of those shots, and especially against this team tonight, one of the best shooting teams we've ever seen. It could be a long night for any team that does that. They can blow out anybody.
This is not quantifiable, maybe. Did the Boston loss take a little wind out of the sails? I feel like last week was, the Bucks-Celtics, we were almost hyped up like it was a Packer game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that as a big-time compliment, I guess, to both. But tonight, I don't know. They're playing Golden State tonight. I thought... I don't feel maybe what I thought I'd
feel.
Well,
I think what happened
from people,
what you had happen going into Boston, is that you had an unbeaten record,
yeah,
and you wanted to see how long that was going to last. And I think people realized, I mean, it's October. I mean, it was October basketball last week against Boston. The only thing really that got you excited is the Bucks were off to one of their best starts, and they wanted to see how long that unbeaten streak was going to go. And tonight. Late night, no. I mean, I think there's a long way to go in the season. Yeah, you got two of the best teams right now in the NBA, and the Warriors are in their own class. But I think I'm going to stay up and watch it tonight. There's no doubt. I'm going to do the huddle with Bill, and then go home and watch the game.
Yeah, I mean, the West Coast thing maybe is what I'm.
Yeah,
feeling.
It's just, it's 8 games, 9 games, 10 games into the season. I think that's where we all are. I mean, to say potential NBA finals and playoff preview and talking about it, it's just, I think a lot of people are circled in on the NFL season right now because we're getting down to, getting past the midway point of the season, college football and all that, and the NBA's early season. That's just where we are. But I'm definitely looking forward to, and it's not, if the Bucks go out and lose tonight, it's okay. They lost to Golden State. There's no shame losing to those guys. The Bucks aren't on their level just yet, and I don't expect the Bucks to go out and win this game tonight. But let's just see how they do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be like, I want it to be a competitive game, and that's. Not setting the bar very high because you should always want them to win. I just want it to be a competitive game. I do think they can win. I'm not going to predict them to, but I think they can. I think they can. But I don't want it to be a game where they go into the gym and lose by 25.
No.
I don't want them to lose the way that teams have been losing to the Bucks because I do think the Bucks are a lot closer to the upper echelon right now than they are the middle of the pack. I think that they're a very... very good team, and I'd like to see them play well against very good teams. And against Boston, they had a tough third quarter, but it was a close game. Against Portland, it's maybe one of their worst game of the year. They had a tough third quarter in that one too, and some guys got hot against them. These guys will. I mean, Golden State's going to put 120.
Well, listen, let's face it. If the Bucks are going to win this game tonight, the Bucks are going to have to play their A game, and Golden State's going to have to drop a couple of notches. Be playing a B minus C plus game. For the Bucks to win a game like tonight. But if Golden State's got it going on and they're hitting shots, ain't nobody in the NBA who could beat those guys when they're going good.
No, and I'll tell you, in watching some of the Golden State games already this year, I do think for them, man, it's like they know they're going to be in the finals or at least the Western Conference Finals. They know their season doesn't really start until like the second round of the playoffs, and that's not for another 6, 7, 8 months. So they've got... to just kind of go through the motions here. But when you're a team like Golden State, you're going to look for reasons to get up for games. And I think just with it's not anywhere near a rivalry, but there's been some back and forth between the Warriors and the Bucks over the last few years with the 24-1 thing. When the Warriors were undefeated for 24 games, Bucks the one to knock them off. And there's been a little bit in back and forth with that kind of stuff. And also, there's an article that was just put out, I believe I'll find the right paper here, but San Francisco Chronicle, talking from a guy talked to Steph Curry about how Steph Curry sees kind of the 2014 Warriors in these 2018 Bucks. What I've been talking about, how it's a team that's kind of close to being, there, and then they fire a coach, and then everybody sort of gets a little better because of it. That happened with Golden State. They fired Mark Jackson a few years ago after losing the first round of a playoff series. And then winning the finals the next year. And I think the Bucks, after losing the first round of a playoff series, can, do some very special things this year. So there is that sort of like, hey, they're kind of doing what maybe we did. Let's it's a good test for us too. So I think that they'll certainly get up for this one. No, Draymond kind of changes the landscape a little bit, but I certainly think this will be competitive in all angles.
Yeah, this is a bigger game for the Bucks than Golden State.
True, Golden State's not going to look at it like they're playing. I think they look at the Bucks and they're going to get more up for it than they would like the Pistons or the Nets or the Heat. I do think that they're going to, you know, get up for this one.
We'll see. If Golden State loses it, Steve Kerr isn't going to lose any sleep over it. I mean, Golden State, I mean, they've been in so many big, I mean, since 2014, look at all the big matchups they've been in. And compare that to what the Bucks have been through. And the Bucks haven't been through anything compared to what Golden State has. So, I mean, for the Bucks to go out there and beat Golden State, I think this would be an eye-opener to everybody. A lot of people follow the NBA. The Bucks, man, were off to an 8-2 start. Look, did you see what they did last night? They went to Golden State, and they got the job done by 5 points against the Warriors, who got an 8-game winning streak. So, yeah, and if Golden State wins, people will say, okay, well, they, you know, 9 in a row for Golden State, okay. But, you know, bigger deal for the Bucks and a bigger game for the Bucks tonight if they were able to go into there and win this game tonight.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Saturday, then, the Bucks are in L.A. to take on the Clippers, Denver on Sunday night, and then they're home for 6 in a row over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Just an odd schedule for Thanksgiving week beginning on Monday. They play 4 games in a span of like 5 or 6 days over Thanksgiving holiday, including back-to-back home games on Friday and Saturday. That's just odd. They play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. If the schedule, I think it's the West Coast teams they play. Going into our toy drive the following week. So 4 home games at Fiserv Forum. So they've had a stretch of home games. Now they're going on the road, and they come back, and they play 4 straight at home after this road trip.
Well, you know, a lot of people will be back in town, maybe see the Fiserv Forum for the first time.
No, I think it's a good idea.
Over the Thanksgiving week, and we'll see what the record is as we move forward. Bucks Warriors tonight, we'll have the postgame show for you. Essentially, tomorrow morning, right after this one ends tonight, we'll have the post-game show for you, as we will after every Bucks game all season long right here on The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins. We'll talk a little more about this matchup and the season up to this point after 10 games with Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel as we preview Bucks Warriors tonight from Oracle. That's Chuck. I'm Bart. We're here 12:50 a.m., 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Bucks Warriors tonight as we break this one down with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and look back at how the season started so far. The 2 losses, I mean, they've only lost twice, but we'll put the 3 competitive games and add Charlotte in there. And it seems like, if not a formula, there's a pattern for how you compete against the Bucks, and that's by having some of these guards like Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker or CJ McCollum. Does it come down to right now, if the Bucks are going to lose, it's going to be to a team with a guard that can shoot and take advantage of what the Bucks defense give them? Or how would you describe how the Bucks have lost the 2 games they've lost?
Yeah, I think that having those types of guards has been a trend. You know, obviously there aren't a ton of guards, you know, with the same quality as a Kemba Walker, a Kyrie Irving, a CJ McCollum. But that's something that, you know, in the Bucks' defensive scheme, you know, when you have especially a middle pick and roll or something like that, you know, those guys can really create off the dribble. They can get a little bit of separation, and they can either, you know, step out for the 3 as guys go over and try and chase, or they can go into the mid-range and make tough pull-up jump shots, which, you know, CJ McCollum, you know, with those mid-range jump shots, I mean, he's 8-for-10 from the mid-range, he's making everything. Those are the shots that the Bucks want teams to take, because those are, you know, less efficient shots in general. But sometimes, you know, you get burned, and a team like Portland makes 19-of-24 from the mid-range, and, you know, you kind of left with putting your hands in the air, like, what else can we do? This is what we're trying to get, and, you know, it's not really working out. So it's something that, especially with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and oh yeah, Kevin Durant too, coming up, going to be a major emphasis as they take on the Warriors.
You know, they're off to a real good start, but there's going to be times when they're just going to get outshot by the other team because they're not at the level of Golden State, where Golden State, they live and die and mostly live a great deal of the time from the outside. The Bucks aren't at that level just yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally true. And I think, you know, they still shot a good percentage from three, but the problem was they just didn't get enough, you know, contributions from up and down the roster. I mean, you know, Brook Lopez made six threes, and he looked pretty comfortable out there. You know, Giannis, you know, looked like a little bit slow getting started, but he had an efficient night overall in terms of scoring. You know, obviously the turnovers were an issue, but scoring was okay. Chris Middleton got going late, and he shot okay. But just the rest of the team, in games where they've played well, you're getting a lot of guys, you know, contributing, and they just didn't have that. I mean, Brogdon and Bledsoe had looks. Brogdon especially has been pretty good at finishing at the rim this season, and you know, he had a bunch of layups just not go down or roll off the rim or go wide. Just didn't seem like he had the right touch. You know, Bledsoe, you know, kind of had some shooting issues of his own. Less drive based, more just, you know, not always the best quality in terms of his three-pointers and things like that. So when you're not getting everyone contributing, you know, that's when the Bucks are going to run into trouble.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They'll get a really good test if they haven't got a couple already. They're going to get Golden State. Do the Bucks have, from a defensive standpoint, like if they're going to try to defend Kevin Durant? Because I watched like how these teams defend Giannis and Semi Olaje with the Celtics. He's got 48 minutes on the season. 22 of them have come against the Bucks. The game he started. Hasn't started any other games. In the other 9 games, he's played 26 minutes. Aminu last night was on Giannis pretty consistently to start there. Who is the Bucks' Semi Olaje? Who's their Al-Farouq Aminu? Who's the guy that, if they need a guy to shut down Kevin Durant, who is that guy?
You know, I don't know if the Bucks necessarily have that kind of guy. Obviously, when Giannis is on the court, he is, you know, an elite-level defender, you know, whether he's on Durant or not. But when you think about kind of that role player in their starting lineup who can go to the starting lineup, like maybe you'd say Ersan Ilyasova, but he's not like a really, I mean, outside of taking a lot of charges, which we know he does, like he's not like a known as like a ball stopper or anything like that. You know, that's a great question. I don't know if they have someone like that. And I would expect that the way the game would start tomorrow, you'd probably see, you know, Bledsoe and Brogdon on Curry and Thompson. And then Middleton, maybe on Durant with Giannis helping off of Draymond a little bit, you know. But it's going to be a challenge. You know, there's just so many different options on that Warriors team. You know, Giannis even said like, "Hey, if we play defense like we did against the Blazers, they're going to put 150 on us." So you know, they're definitely aware of what's coming next, and that they have to tighten things up as they continue this road trip.
I did want to ask you in October because it's October, but it's November. It's 1 month closer. I'm going to ask some trade deadline stuff already.
I was just going to ask him that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, is it too early to talk that?
No, I don't think it is, because maybe the Bucks do need that kind of guy, or maybe they do need a different kind of guard that can, you know, stop some of these impossible guards to stop. Where would you say, if you're going to add to this team right now, Matt, where would be a piece that they would need to add? What kind of player would come into this system, do you think, from what you've seen, and be someone they should go after? Not who specifically, but a type of player.
Yeah, I think just that defensive versatility, you know, like we were talking about, would definitely be something valuable, that they really don't. I mean, they have it in certain guys, you know, to some extent. But it's not an up and down the roster thing. And granted, like in Bud's defense, they're not going to be doing a ton of switching. Maybe not until later in the year. But something like that could be helpful. Obviously, anyone who can shoot, you know, the Bucks as a team put a lot of emphasis on guys who can shoot the three ball and who can stretch the court. That's really paramount when it comes to the offense. Yeah, I think when it comes to the trade deadline, the most beneficial thing the Bucks could do in general would be to try and maybe move some salaries. I mean, just to get themselves ready for the summer and next season. Obviously, that's easier said than done. Obviously, when you look down the bench and you see somebody like Matthew Dellavedova, who is getting paid like $9.6 million, and he's not doing much. Obviously, you need a backup guy at the guard spot in case there's any injuries in front of him. We know all about those injuries from last year. That he could be really beneficial if that situation comes to pass. But right now, he's not doing much, and that's kind of got to be a weird situation for him. So, I think that right now it's still a little early to try and figure out exactly what they need, but there's definitely little holes that you can plug here and there.
I think Korver from Cleveland would be a great fit for these guys as a shooter.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, you know that he already has a familiarity with Budenholzer, and he would know how to use him, that's for sure. Bring him in off the bench and be able to let it fly. Obviously, you have to figure out some of the contract issues and decide what Cleveland wants and how you would make that work. But I definitely think that he's somebody who, off the bench, he's not known as a great defender, but he knows what he's doing. He knows what will be asked of him, and he can shoot with the best of them.
That's Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter, Matt_Velasquez. The next time we will talk to him will be next Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and you can check him out on our show at that time throughout the season. Bucks have the Warriors tonight. We'll obviously have the recap of that one for you tomorrow and the postgame show afterwards right here on the station tonight on The Fan. Just checking the temperatures as we come into work this morning, around 32. Next week, there could be some snow tomorrow. Next week, there's a low of 18 overnight early in the week. Now is the time to get into Sound Decisions and to get a remote car starter for your vehicle. Snow is on the way. Cold weather is on the way. Get the jump ahead, because that's typically what happens. A lot of you guys have been doing a good job with it, but typically Sound Decisions, they'll say, all right, guys, anybody want to come? We've got remote car starters. We'll warm up your vehicle. And then you guys say, all right, yeah, I'll be there. Let me just schedule a few things. And then it's the first cold day. And then you write to the phone and you call them up. And then there's a bunch of people trying to get in. So get in while you can. Get in now. Beat the rush. 262-633-8300. Sound Decisions, they'll install a remote car starter in your vehicle so that you can start the car remotely, obviously, warm up the vehicle as you go to and from your daily activities. It's a great present for a loved one. You could either give them the heads up or try to sneak their car somehow. It's been done, but it's always nice to give the gift of warmth over the holiday season. Sound Decisions, where they've been doing audio systems in vehicles since 1972, and they do that very well. That could be something that you think about as well, but they also sell more remote car starters than anybody else, with the leading brands, competitive pricing, and a quick installation as you hang out in their comfortable waiting area. Again, Beat the Rush, Sound Decisions, 262-633-8300. Get yourself started on the remote car starter system for your vehicle. The website, brightpinkmailbox.com. The location on Facebook and in real life, Sound Decisions. For peace of mind and a warm and toasty car this winter, check out a remote car starter from Sound Decisions.
This is a unique challenge. We're playing a football team that we haven't played in 4 years. Personnel matchups that clearly that were non-existent 4 years ago. So there's a lot of newness, and so we got a lot of work to do.
Another uncommon opponent this Sunday, as they like to say. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, Chuck and Winkler. On The Fan, Packers have not played the Dolphins, of course, for 4 years, being an AFC team. That's how it rotates. The game was in Miami, and the Packers, you may remember, won on essentially a last-second touchdown pass to Andrew Quarles from Aaron Rodgers. Joe Philbin, the coach at that time for the Dolphins. Rodgers, 24-42, 264, three touchdowns, a rating of 99.7. Ryan Tannehill for the Dolphins, two touchdowns, 244 yards, two picks. Tannehill will not go this weekend at Lambeau. It will be Brock Osweiler, as the description around Ryan Tannehill is, every time he tries to throw a football, it hurts. You're not going to get very far as a quarterback if that's the case. Looking back at this one, Packers won 27-24. 4 years ago, Eddie Lacy, 14 of 40, led the way, and Jordy Nelson, 9 for 107 with a touchdown. So A lot's changed in the last 4 years between these two clubs.
It's amazing in the NFL, but especially the NFL, all sports too, how rosters just circulate so quickly. I mean, you look back, and I think you did this with the Brewers too. We did this with the 2015 Brewers. Went back and we saw what was the lineup with when Ron Renicki was the manager at opening 2015.
It's
completely different than the opening day of 2018. It's just that there's so much player movement, and especially in the NFL. I mean, look at the guys who you just mentioned there. Neither one of those guys with the Packers anymore except for Aaron.
All right, here's what I'll do then. I will read you the leading tacklers on defense since we did some offensive stats. Again, this is 4 years ago against the Dolphins, and we'll stop when we get to someone who's been with the Packers the entire time since then. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, 7 tackles. He gone. Micah Hyde, Buffalo.
Another one.
Julius Peppers at 4.
Still
tackles.
Playing, but not with the Packers.
Carolina. Tremont Williams was there, but he has left and come back.
Yeah, how about that? He's actually gone and come back.
Morgan Burnett's with Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
A.J. Hawk is, like, doing podcasts now.
Yeah.
So he's gone. Jarrett Bush is gone. Then, as we just read the tacklers here, LaTroy Guyon, gone.
Okay.
Devon House, who left and then came back.
And is pretty much on the milk carton.
Gone. Jamari Lattimore.
Oh, remember him?
Gone.
Terrible.
Oh, Nick Perry.
Oh, Nick.
Who had 2 tackles in that game. Mike Daniels is left. He had a tackle. Matthews had a tackle.
Yeah, Perry's up to 3 tackles a game now.
Mason Crosby had a tackle in that game, and he, of course, is still here. But that was 4 years ago. Joe Philbin, the coach then, he's obviously gone and come back as well with Green Bay now.
Yeah, and the offense has been stagnant with him. And as far as the Miami is concerned, Osweiler had some pretty good games when he first came back replacing Tannehill. But now it seems like Miami's got problems scoring some points. They scored 13 against the Jets last week and won. Their offense looked terrible.
Yeah, well, they won last week somehow.
Yeah, but scored 13 points.
Yo, yeah, that game was bad. That was a game, if you guys watch Red Zone Channel, that was a game that they never go to.
No, because there was never any red zone chances.
No, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was a bad game. Since Osweiler has come back consistently, this will be his 5th game in his 5th start now.
Yeah, he's 2-2.
So starting as much almost as Tannehill did. First game, they beat the Bears. That was the game that went to overtime. Kenyon Drake fumbled at the goal line, and then the Bears missed a field goal. Miami was able to hold on. Osweiler, 383 touchdowns, 2 picks. They then lost to Detroit. Man, how do you lose to Detroit? I guess the Packers did too.
So did New England.
They lost to the Texans on Thursday Night Football, and then the game nobody saw Sunday against the Jets.
I think with Detroit, though, when they go on the road, forget it. They're terrible. But you get them at home, at least they have a shot. And that's the way they've always been over the years, whether they're playing in the Silverdome or Ford Field or wherever. At home, they've always at least sometimes put up a challenge, especially in that Thanksgiving game. They'll at least maybe put up somewhat of a fight, no matter how bad they are. And so, you know, they might lose, but at least they'll challenge you. And, you know, they play the Bears on Thanksgiving this year. So that's one we're going to be pulling for the Lions for next week or in 2 weeks.
They play the Bears this weekend.
Yeah. I thought they play them on, don't they play them on Thanksgiving?
I think they play them 2 out of 3 weeks.
Is that what it is?
They definitely play this weekend.
Yeah. I thought they played on Thanksgiving too.
We can take a look at the Thanksgiving schedule.
Yeah.
Let's do that. I, for some reason, looking things up while we're on the air feels like the worst thing in the world, but let's take a look at it. Right? Doesn't it?
Well,
I saw it feel that way.
Yep. Chicago at Detroit. Thanksgiving. So they play them 2 out of the next 3 weeks.
Do you know the other two? I think they're all NFC.
Yeah. Washington's at Dallas. Of course, Dallas is always going to play and host on New Year's, on Thanksgiving Day. And then the night game, Atlanta at New Orleans.
Oh.
And then the Packers play the very last game of Thanksgiving weekend when they play Sunday night at Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, with the Jaguars and Steelers getting flexed out, I thought for a second maybe the Packers get flexed out of their next game on Sunday night. But there's no way that happens.
No.
The Packers-Patriots game was the most watched Week 9 game in 12 years.
Yeah, well, it sure got a lot of hype. It sure got a lot of hype all week with the Michael Jordan commercials. So they put a lot into that game, NBC did. They put a lot into that game, and yeah, they reaped the benefits because the ratings were great.
So the Bears have the Lions this weekend. Who do the Vikings have?
That I don't know. We can also check that out.
Yep, everyone just slow down.
Vikings,
are they in a bye?
Looks like they're they're in a bye. They play at Chicago a week from Sunday.
Okay.
And the Packers, the Sunday night game.
Host Miami.
Yeah.
Packers secondary is going to be a little different again. Jermaine Whitehead is gone. So, Clinton Dix got a lot of time, and then they traded him. And then Jermaine Whitehead kind of replacing him, and then they cut him. He is latched on with Chicago.
I just find
Cleveland.
I just find that amazing. Nearly every cast off from here, front office or wherever, they go to Cleveland. I'm surprised Ted Thompson's not an advisor with the Browns. They get everybody. They anytime the Packers release somebody or they cut somebody or whatever, they're all either they sign with Cleveland or they're under consideration with the Browns.
Let's see, who do they have officially right now? Because Jeff Janis was there.
Yeah. Is he even in the league anymore?
He's gone. No, I follow him on Instagram too. He is always hunting.
Okay.
He's always hunting. Jeff Janis is. He did come back to Wisconsin maybe last week to hunt. He's always showing off his hunting equipment or his newborn of about a year ago. And he did a Q&A with fans actually on Instagram about a week ago. And they said, would you want to be a Packer again? And he said, in a heartbeat, I'd go play for Green Bay.
Yeah, so he gets some more money.
Yeah.
But just think, like in the NFL, you play two or three or four or five seasons and you make up enough money, and you're pretty much, if you do it, if you invest that right, I mean, you're set for life. You could be out of the league by 30 and be financially set.
You know how we talk a lot about Cleveland and the Packer connections, and sure, Janis, but some of these guys on defense, and guys will get tryouts, even guys like Brian Price, if you remember him, and Demarius Randall got traded over there in the front office with Dorsey, and then Elliott Wolf. We always say, Mike McCarthy, when he gets fired, he'll land in Cleveland. But the more Cleveland picks up, like the guys McCarthy, like if he goes to Cleveland, that's him and Demarius Randall again. That's him and Whitehead again. I don't know, man. The more they pick up some of these Packers castoffs, I think the less likely it actually is that McCarthy lands in Cleveland.
So McCarthy would have to go to Cleveland and during negotiations say, okay, I don't want this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy on the team. Why, Mike? Well, I just cut them in Green Bay. Why do I want them again in Cleveland?
Yeah.
So he shows up to practice and he sees these guys, and those guys, if they're on Cleveland and McCarthy gets hired, they're thinking, okay, I have no shot at making this team because the big guys follow me around the country.
Because like Demarius Randall, who got traded over there for DeShone Kizer. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a... following these guys on Twitter and, you know, just being anytime you go from one workplace to another, there is sort of a camaraderie you have with people that also leave that workplace. So he just retweeted an NFL Network report about getting traded. And he's always retweeting like highlights of Morgan Burnett. And, you know, these guys stay in touch because they're all cast offs from Green Bay and they all kind of know what that's like to leave Green Bay. The last thing you want to do then is to have your old boss come to your new workplace when you're so excited that you're not at your old workplace.
And if you're Cleveland and you're trying to lure McCarthy there, I mean, if McCarthy looks at it, he's looking at Cleveland and saying, man, do I want to go to Cleveland? They got all the guys I cut. They got all the guys. So I'm going to have to go there and clean house.
Right.
And do I have any say in it? Because I'm just the coach. But the guys that he cut Clinton Dix, who's in Washington. I mean, although he looked terrible this past weekend trying to make some tackles.
Yeah, he looked real bad.
The guys that he cut, recently in the last couple of years, I mean, they're not impact guys anyway.
No, but it is interesting the more Cleveland, like, collects old Packers.
Yeah.
I think it kind of decreases the odds that McCarthy does wind up there.
It's like any time somebody is released or from the Packers, or you just expect them front office or whatever, you expect them to line up, end up in Cleveland.
We will speculate a little more on the big guy's future coming up. Right now, a report from Mike Clemens, who is doing a terrific job. And maybe in this last game, you saw just the discrepancy between Bill Belichick and Mike McCarthy on the sidelines. You may have seen that video with Bill Belichick, you know, telling his guys to bull rush the Packers guards because they're not that good and we can get the Rodgers. McCarthy had a response to that. Mike Clemens has the report from Green Bay.
Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are getting ready to host the Dolphins Sunday here at Lambeau Field. The game was flexed up to a 3:25 start. Aaron Rodgers, whose completion percentage is way down, says there's a reason he's throwing away so many passes.
I think this guy's being open. You know, if the guy's open, I'm going to pull the trigger. But if guys are covered and I can't extend it, then you have to find a place to go with the ball. That's our guys or nobody's.
At 3-4-1, Randall Cobb says the pressure is on.
We definitely need some momentum. We need to get a win. I can tell you this isn't fun. It's very frustrating.
Right tackle Brian Bulaga was limited in practice after leaving Sunday night's game in New England with a knee injury. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick was mic'd up during the game. You can hear him on the sidelines telling his defense to kick the bleep out of the Packers guards and go after Rodgers.
Hey, the pass rush is what we want. Keep working the out of those guards, keep him in a pocket. He's trying to throw us two interceptions now. We're going to get one. All right, he's just lobbing it up there.
The clip from NFL Films, Packers Mike McCarthy's reaction.
You know, there's things that are said on both, you know, both sidelines too. So, mic'd up or not mic'd up. And I think more importantly, you know, there's a mindset and approach and everything. So, you know, we're trying to kick the shit out of everybody's guards too when we play. That's the reality of the game of football.
For more team coverage, go to 1057fmthefan.com.
There's a lot that goes into it. You know, I think clearly the pattern and the emphasis of what's going on currently with our personnel department, I think the direction, you know, Brian is, you know, his imprint on the football team is something of, you know, there's been change. I mean, particularly just the last 2 weeks. So it's usually never just, you know, just one thing. It's a combination of things. And so this is a decision that's been made. And, you know, there's new opportunity for other players.
I honestly can't tell if McCarthy is on board this little Gutekunst purge or not. You know, these guys are leaving. Gutekunst last week, the Packers GM, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan, said that these are not message-sending moves. But in the last 2 weeks, Ty Montgomery made a big-time mistake, fumble, he gone. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix, he's been barking outside of the locker room, so he gone. And then Whitehead slaps a guy in the face, and now he's gone. And it did change. When Whitehead got ejected, it did change the way that they were running their defense. Petten was running a lot of dime, had to change that. New England kind of took advantage of that, and that was after an ejection. So then now you're just taking away that guy, and it's more that they have to sort of deal with from the Packers secondary when they game plan for another week. I don't know. I can't tell if McCarthy's on board this little cleanse, Chuck, or not.
I just think he's trying to make it through the season with the best he can, and I really think McCarthy knows or sees the writing on the wall. I really do. I mean, if we all do, I think he does. And he's just trying to make the most of the season, get as far as he can with his team, and then call that moving truck as soon as the season is over and head it in a direction where he's going to sign, unless he takes off for a year. But, you know, I really think so, Bart. He's just playing it cool the rest of the season. He's not going to burn any bridges. He's not going to come out and cause any waves. Just going to play out the season and try to make the most of the rest of the seven games and get this team to the playoffs and get a division title and add to his resume. I think that's what it's all about right now.
McCarthy taking a lot of heat. Of course, it's not all on him. 799-1250. Let's talk to Chip and Tosa for a little bit. Chip, how you been? What's up?
Hey, Chip.
Hold on, guys.
What's up?
I got a lot to say here, okay?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Go we'll ahead. See how it goes.
Okay. I'll try to be quick. It's like everybody just lives in the present, okay? And it's more of one thing. It's not just one thing. Because if it was one thing, they would fix it and they'd be winning games, okay? Everybody wants to sit here and say Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT. Well, when New England played Atlanta, it was, is Tom Brady the GOAT or is Joe Montana the GOAT? Now, magically, Tom Brady plays Aaron Rodgers, and is Aaron Rodgers the GOAT or is Tom Brady the GOAT? If Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback ever, and when the Packers win, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest person ever, well, when they lose, it needs to fall on Aaron Rodgers, too. I believe a coaching change probably would help the Packers. Do I think McCarthy is a bad coach? No. But if you really look at what Aaron Rodgers is doing, that's what the NFL is doing. Throw more. Everybody complains when he keeps the play alive. Well, the more you keep the play alive, the more chance there's going to be a defensive holding and automatic first down and the chance you can score more. That's just how it is. Do I think if the Bucs didn't make a coaching change, I think the Bucs would be 2-8. So a coaching change may help, may not. I don't know. But I think there's a lot more than just one thing wrong with the Packers right now.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody doubts that Mike McCarthy is a good football coach.
Good call, Chip.
I don't think anybody doubts that John Harbaugh is a good football coach at Baltimore. But sometimes change happens. It happens to all the good coaches. These guys leave and go get another job somewhere. That's just the way, the nature of the managerial position. One day Craig Counsell is going to be leaving the Milwaukee Brewers. He can stay there forever. That just happens. Guys shift their way through. Budenholzer, his time will eventually run out in Milwaukee. I'm not saying tomorrow.
Hey,
no,
it's been 10 games.
Yeah, but I'm
they
saying.
Lose one game and you're sending him out of here?
No. I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying if he loses to Golden State, the guy's on his way out. I mean, but, you know, that's the way it works. These guys.
Let's save those kind of hot takes for when we truly
will.
Need
them. Yeah. But the point is that these guys eventually run their time. Pat Riley won all those NBA titles in Los Angeles. Who would have guessed he would ever leave? And then he went to New York, and he had success there. They win an NBA title, and then he ends up at Miami. And of course, he ended up winning a title there in 2006 with D-Wade. But these guys all move around. These guys all coach. Mike Ditka coached at a different coach in New Orleans for a while. These guys all move. Jimmy Johnson, you know, that was going so well in Dallas. And after a few years, he was out and coaching in Miami. But and the same with McCarthy. McCarthy will be on the sidelines. I could have told you this a few years ago, and I think I did. It was just going to happen. It's just the nature of the coaching and the managerial business.
Yeah, and I think the parallel is, you know, when Favre was here with Sherman and things were deteriorating between them, you brought in a new coach. And it didn't have to be Bill Cowher. It didn't have to be Bill Parcells. It was just a new guy. And Mike McCarthy got more out of Favre when it looked like you couldn't. And they went to an NFC Championship game. So maybe you do need a new voice, and that could unlock something out of Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out. More on the Packers coming up, 799-1250. We're going to talk to Ben Wergel about the Badgers as well around 735. We'll get a little basketball in there with him, too. He joins us a little later on. Fantasy football help in the 8 o'clock hour. And Bucks Warriors tonight, plenty to discuss. We'll keep doing it with you guys. 799-1250 here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.